It could be referring to
censorship.
It could be, it's my right. I can say whatever I want.
You're canceling me, Mr. Producer. I don't like that.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. My guest.
I'm here. I made it.
My special guest, Scott Slatton.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much.
Appreciate
you being here.
Glad it's Thursday.
Yeah.
I would say I'm looking forward to a relaxing weekend, but I don't get that. We've got a baseball game in Charlotte this weekend.
Weather's kind of iffy on Friday tomorrow, but Saturday and Sunday is supposed to be beautiful.
We don't play Friday, but Saturday and Sunday we will be out of doors in Saturday in one park, Sunday in a different one, and we will be out of doors in Upper Charlotte.
Upper Charlotte?
Yeah, like
the
north end of the city.
Like on the UNCC side, that end up that way?
I don't know. Have to go straight.
Up 77?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You go past downtown?
Yes.
Oh, that's way up there.
I know. It's 2 hours.
You could go up there to the IKEA. There's an IKEA up there. There's
Scott,
a big mall up
Scott,
there.
I've been to the IKEA. I've been one time.
Oh, yeah?
I took my precious mother and my precious sister.
Yeah.
We walk in the place, and they acted like they had never been out in public. They started holding hands and started to get very confused. Oh, my gosh, Casey, I'm just looking for, we were looking for something for my sister.
Oh, man.
We found it. Y'all, we were walking to the checkout, and I turned and looked at them, and I said, y'all, I'm going to go get the car, because there are these loading zones. And I said, they were like, no, you can't leave. You can't leave.
What?
Don't leave us. Just stay right here with us. Because I had to take them by the hand and lead them through the place.
Did you get them a meatball?
No. I wanted to get a cinnamon bun.
Oh, my.
Because apparently the gracious. IKEA cinnamon buns or the IKEA like sweet rolls or whatever are amazing. No, nothing. They panicked. I'm going to start off this week with the trivia question. And we're going to do it immediately.
Okay. It's that urgent.
I mean, not really.
Okay.
But it's just something more to talk about.
All right, fine.
Scott, what cities in South Carolina have pine in their name? Pine, P-I-N-E, like the tree.
Yeah. Okay.
What cities?
You got Pine Ridge.
Right.
You got Pine Wood.
Mm-hmm.
You've got... oh boy, now there's more. Is there a Pine View? No, there's not a Pine View. Is there?
There's a Lake View. You have a view of the lake, but there is no view of the pines.
There's not Three Pines. That's in Woodruff. That's a golf course.
No, you got both of them. Pine Ridge and Pine Wood.
Oh.
I was gonna see if I could lure you down the path of saying Pineville.
No,
but
Pineville's in North Carolina.
It's unincorporated.
Pineville's in North Carolina.
It's also in Berkeley County.
Right.
But it's an
unincorporated crossroads,
right.
Probably.
Right. Excellent work.
Joshua Slatton was actually born in Pineville, North Carolina.
Really?
I did not
know that he was a North Carolinian.
Near 24 years ago. Yes, he's a North Carolina native.
Really? I did not know that.
How about that?
I am Columbia through and through, born at Baptist Medical Center in downtown Columbia.
Well, he was a quick transplant when we left the hospital.
Right.
Back to Rock Hill. So
here we are, and I meant to do some quick math. Let me look at my phone.
I love
real
it when
quick.
You do math. I can't do it.
Let's see. We started the session on January the 9th?
9th, yeah, that sounds right.
There's been, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
This is riveting podcasting, Mr. Producer.
This is the 10th, the conclusion of the 10th week of the legislative session.
It's been that many, huh?
We are 1, 2, 3 weeks and a day away from crossover.
Okay.
And adjournment is May the 9th.
Be here before you know it.
So we are, let's see, one.
She's counting, folks. For those of you who
are. So we're over halfway complete.
Okay.
We only have like 8 weeks left, give or take. And I'm not counting furlough. Take two, you know, one more, two more furlough weeks out of there. So we even have less than 8 weeks.
That's right. we have 2 weeks before crossover.
So really, yeah.
Effectively, because the House is going to be gone week after next, and then the Senate will be gone for some short period of time, but
who knows when.
They
may take a perfunctory before Easter or something like that. But yeah, it's it is the end is quickly approaching.
Well, and we know that spring is here because the pollen is falling liberally here in the Midlands.
It really is.
In fact, they had an air quality alert today.
Really? I didn't know that.
From the Columbia Weather Service office issued an air quality. Yeah, you can look across, just look down the street and you can see the haze.
Thank goodness you work here, because I wouldn't know anything weather related if you didn't.
When I was walking to the State House this morning, I was looking across the river and it's just a big haze.
Gross.
Down the hill and across the river.
So gross.
You would have think that Sherman had been setting off his guns down there, but. We'll talk about guns more in a minute.
We'll talk about guns in a second.
There were a lot of developments with related to guns this week.
So this week, the House came in on Monday afternoon about 1 o'clock.
Yep.
They worked Monday until 5:30 or 6.
Yeah.
They worked Tuesday from 9:30 till 6:30, something like that.
Super late, yeah.
And they gave the budget, the House version of the budget, second reading on Tuesday evening.
Mm-hmm.
Came back Wednesday morning at 9:30, gave it third reading.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Speaker gave the rest of the staff the week off.
Which means the House left.
Which means the House did not take up any bills on the calendar. They made the offer if any chairman needed to take up a bill on an uncontested basis.
Yeah.
But they adjourned, sending the budget to the Senate and the Senate Finance Committee.
So the budget debate was really, it was a lot tamer.
Yeah, there were a couple, like,
this year than
overall, it was definitely tamer. There were a couple of little chippy moments, just a couple.
But not consistent.
But not consistent and not, not very widespread. And it didn't get that intense.
I'll chalk that up, Casey, in my view, to the fact that the Freedom Caucus, whether this was, they did this deliberately or not, but this is how it ended up, they chose or anointed Representative Jordan Pace,
mm-hmm.
where's he from? Down in the
Somerville.
Somerville,
mm-hmm.
to represent the many amendments that they put up on the budget,
mm-hmm.
that a bunch of them sought to redirect funds from, like the Arts Commission.
Yeah, they wanted to.
To the DOT.
It. Yeah.
You know, so take money from these culture warrior mm-hmm. targets and dedicate that to DOT. And of course, the problem with redirecting money like that is it throws it out of balance. And
right.
You gotta figure that out. But Representative Pace is he's an attorney, I believe.
Yes.
He's very, measured and sincere,
mm-hmm. kind.
And very polite,
mm-hmm.
and he's not snarky.
Mm-mm.
He doesn't fall for the bait when others are trying to elicit a snarky response.
Right, right.
So I think, and because of that, I think the other members of the Republican caucus did not necessarily go on the attack in the way that they might have if others in the Freedom Caucus were kind of carrying the water. Because they did. They did snark back and forth at the ones that they felt like they could mm-hmm. elicit a response from. And
right.
it worked. They fell for the bait.
Right. They got the response they
Representative
wanted.
Pace did not do that. So
no, he really did a nice job
of
explaining the amendments and realizing when the argument was done.
And yes, and to that end, he withdrew a number of mm-hmm. amendments that he mm-hmm. put up because they were largely the same arguments and or trying to send the same kinds of dollars. They were along the same path as the one or two that he got defeated, and he realized, okay, that's folly, so we're going to move on to something else.
Right.
So
right.
I appreciated that.
So they worked out the budget, which is largely what the Ways and Means Committee passed.
Yes.
It is full funding for the local government fund. It's the 5% full funding that was required by Act 84. They did give only $1 million in non-recurring or one-time dollars to Council of Governments. They still have the $750,000 for the PTSD for first responders.
Right.
That we encourage folks to take advantage of. VSafe, the firefighter equipment program, that got $3 million. The Firefighter Cancer Fund was funded again. The destination-specific tourism grants, they did include, which is different than last year, is $200 million to DOT for bridge modification and repair on interstates and primary highways.
Right.
They, I think I forgot the statistics, but we have a lot of bridges in this state, and a lot of them are way past their time.
So I saw somebody tweet that they had five bridges just in their district that were might have been Representative Brian Lawson from Cherokee County, from Gaffney. May have been him that told us in the lobby that he's got five bridges in his district that are closed right now. While we were over there this week. So, yeah, we need the bridge money.
They also gave the chunk, the $30 million, to the Office of Resilience for disaster relief.
Yes.
Hurricanes, ice storms, if those occur, floods, those kind of things.
And they use a lot of that. They use a lot of those funds. Their revenue, their appropriation goes to buying out flood-prone properties and moving those residents elsewhere to avoid having to continually go back and pay to rebuild.
A couple of new provisos that are of note to mention.
Lay them on me.
Representative Russell Ott, he sponsored and it was adopted a dam repair amendment to the budget, which just tells how the Department of Environmental Services, previously DHEC, how to spend the money to correct dam deficiencies.
We are going on now 9 years since the flood.
I can't believe that.
The great flood of October of 2015. And we still have tons and tons of dams across the state, privately owned in particular, that have never been repaired or are facing the same threat of failure in the event, not of just a 1,000-year flood like we had in 2015, but even a moderate flood event.
Right.
So,
because that was the excessive amount of rainfall.
Yeah.
And that was why my parents' house flooded is because there was up creek, there was a dam breach and dam failures, and they just kept going downstream.
There's one near my house that was never repaired. Rimer Pond, the Rimer Pond Dam was never repaired. The sad thing about that was, during the flood, Rimer Pond burst and then blew a portion out below the dam, blew out a portion of Rimer Pond Road. DOT goes in, repairs it, gets it fixed, and then, I'm not kidding, like 3 months later or so, might have been shorter than that, we had another tremendous rain event, washed it out again.
Mm-mm.
It was crazy. It's insane. So
that is it.
The dam. Let me say this about Russell Ott. The dam repair, the dam issues are something that Russell Ott's been
since the beginning
been hitting on.
Yes,
since
this
the
is
flood.
Not a new issue for him. He has been relentless on repairing those dams and not causing repeat offenders, just like what you were talking about.
Yeah, he has been the dam advocate.
He is. He really is.
Yes.
And then
I see you smirking over there, Mr.
I can't wait to see if this is if all of these are bleeped out because we were talking about dams.
I got in trouble in like third grade for that.
For saying dam?
Yeah.
I did too.
Right.
I was little though. My mom made me bite a bar of soap.
I got in trouble.
She was
at
a big
school.
Believer in washing your mouth out with soap.
I got in trouble for it at school.
I know exactly how soap tastes. So then there was the critical need return to work proviso.
That begs the question, what's your favorite soap?
I can't remember what she put in
my
mouth.
What's your favorite flavor?
I think it was Dove, maybe.
Spring this time of year?
That she, I think it was Dove. Whatever available bar was there when it came out of my mouth, that's what she did.
We got to have some levity.
So the earnings limitation for critical return to work.
Yes.
And that's the just with the approval of Law Enforcement Training Council.
Yeah.
And that's in there. But there's also what has been in the budget for quite some time, and that's the SCRS and PORS return to work.
Yeah. For general
so
employees.
So that's nothing. Yeah, for general employees.
Right.
The removing the earnings cap.
You know, and it's so...
I don't know why we won't just pass the bill.
Yeah, just pass the bill.
It's in the budget.
It's been
just
in the budget. It's
in
been in the budget
law.
For how many
it,
years in a row now?
Also, from previous years, the non-reporting, the audit bill. If you don't, you know, municipalities don't submit an audit.
Yeah.
And then the immigration compliance. We've got. I included that in the report this week because I thought that was important for everybody to see.
Yeah. Every year, every law enforcement agency has to certify to SLED that they are not or they are complying
there
with
are
federal regulations and detaining illegals.
Yes. Or they're
undocumented.
Not, yeah, they're not. It's
people,
undocumented.
Undocumented, sorry.
You have to
but
submit paperwork,
yeah.
but they send it
otherwise,
to you to fill out and
yeah,
send back. You don't
withhold,
have to generate something.
Otherwise, they withhold some of your LGF,
yes.
your local government.
So that, that is in the House of Representatives this week. That is
the
what
people's
happened.
People's House, yes.
They went home. They'll be back on Tuesday for a regular schedule, for a regular week.
Yeah.
Let's walk across the hall to the Senate.
Okay.
The Senate came in... Tuesday and Wednesday.
They did.
For about 5 minutes. They took the roll call. They did local bills. They have had, and we've talked about this before, no need to rehash, but mm-hmm. they are working on a bill that would restructure the Judicial Merit Selection Commission, or the commission that screens judges for the General Assembly to elect.
Right. Screens and recommends.
Right. Correct. Yes. So they are... as we record this podcast, Senator Luke Rankin, a Republican from Horry County and chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, is proposing an amendment that they have been working on. The reason they have only been in session for a couple of minutes, Tuesday and Wednesday, is because they have been meeting in small groups to try to work out a compromise.
Yes.
And this amendment, I'm assuming, since they are in session and he is explaining it, because it is up to the Senate, the Judiciary Chairman to, you know,
right.
spearhead this, that they have come to an agreement and they will be able to pass something out. That we have several bills, the property tax bill and the abandoned buildings tax credit. We have those that have been sitting on the Senate calendar waiting for them to be able to debate them. But because this judicial bill has been in interrupted debate status, that means they can't do anything on the calendar other than that.
And the property tax exemption fix, Senate Bill 1017, now has an objection on it.
Correct.
From Senator Mike Fanning from Winsboro, Chester, Fairfield, Chester, York counties. So until and unless he removes his objection, even if they get onto the calendar, when they get on the calendar next week, it will not be, it will, that bill won't move forward. So,
Joni is also at the State House today. She is waiting on the Senate to adjourn so she can testify in front of the Senate Finance Constitutional Sub just to let them know that the House fully funded it. Please do what the law says. We appreciate you doing this ever since you passed it in 2019. So she is waiting that, that opportunity to testify. We also have the 4552, the military TIF bill that Erica has been working on in concert with the city of North Charleston. That is scheduled to be on the Senate Labor, Commerce, and Industry Labor and Employment Subcommittee on Wednesday of next week, I believe.
Who chairs that sub?
Sean Bennett.
Oh, yes, that's
from
right.
Dorchester County.
From Somerville. Yeah, great. Good,
so Erica
good
has
to
been...
cities.
Eric has been working, you know, that with North Charleston and to make sure that that bill has already met crossover. So there is not the urgency like with those other two Senate bills, abandoned buildings and property tax, that it is to get it out of the Senate before crossover.
Yeah, but that, I mean, despite the fact that we're in no big hurry, it should move fairly easily because it's non-controversial.
Right, right.
Senator Bennett knows the value of the passage of this bill, and certainly Senator Tom Davis from Beaufort Bluffton, who's the chairman of Senate LCI, knows the value of it. So I would expect it to come out of committee easily, and then hopefully nobody's going to mess with it on the floor. There's really no reason. So it's a great economic development tool for North Charleston and that entire region. So
it really depends on what is the next issue that will
clog up the
calendar. You know, like what thing is going to be the next big thing? As everybody knows, what Saturday opens filing for races in the Senate and the House. So that is playing a huge part in what we've been doing recently.
Let me suggest to you something that could clog it up, though I would expect it not to.
Okay.
Yesterday, Senator Shane Massie, the Senate Republican Majority Leader and from Edgefield, as promised during the gun conference committee meetings, yesterday introduced Senate Bill 1158, which seeks to clear up and clean up some issues that were hanging out of the gun bill from last week, the permitless carry law now. One of those being ensuring that 18-year-olds, even though they have the right now to carry a firearm, to ensure that they cannot carry that onto school property.
Right. We didn't think about that earlier.
Even if it were secured in their vehicle, it is not allowed on school grounds under any circumstance.
I mean, that makes more sense than it should.
So that's one of the things in there. And then they added some clarifying language about the time in which you would have to commit a felony with a gun if you're in possession. I'm not exactly sure why they needed that, but that's something they did. Did a couple other kind of small things. One of those being to clarify, or actually to delete, a duplicative statement in the place in the list of places where guns are prohibited, to clarify that a city or a public building that is also used as a courtroom, you cannot carry into that building, even if it's not a court. If it's being used for court, then you can't bring that in there. And when I was looking at that list again, Casey, the law doesn't explicitly say that all public buildings are, it's prohibited for you to carry them on at all public buildings. It says something to the effect of a building that is used by the city council is, you can't bring it in. But that makes me raise the question, because it's not explicit that I can't take it into a public works building.
Right.
Could I potentially take it into a public works building? But the way to get around that is to placard all of those facilities, and that prevents somebody from being able to bring into that building.
Let me ask you something. So in Columbia this weekend is the big, very popular Five Points St. Patrick's Day Festival. Mm-hmm. Can you open carry at that festival?
I would think so, yes. Because that is not...
But not if you're drinking.
It's not... Right.
You cannot carry if you are... Or if you are just in an establishment.
Well, I think I'd have to go back and look at it.
I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I was really just thinking about that.
So you can go into an establishment, a place that sells alcohol, but if you consume, you cannot carry.
Right.
You can go into that establishment that serves alcohol and carry if you do not drink.
So,
but that is in an establishment. That is not necessarily, would you interpret that to also mean at a festival?
Well, if the festival is barricaded like the one in Five Points, it's like a specific area.
But is that an establishment?
Right. But they do sell alcohol.
And those are, but that is also not a publicly owned facility. Five Points, the streets are not necessarily what I would consider publicly owned streets. They are public and they're owned by the public in a sense. But even erecting signage during that event, well, I don't know.
Is it up to the private group? Because there's a private group that puts on that festival.
Then now that's a good question.
Can that private group then, just like a private building or a private business, say?
I don't know. We'd have to get Scheidel to answer this question, but I would bet that if they erected the signage that is allowed in the statute,
right,
to prohibit carrying at an event, then you would not be able to carry.
Yeah,
that's my.
I was
that's
just curious. We are
I
not
think that's,
going.
I think that's how it works.
That's. I just
no, I wouldn't
wanted
go,
to.
I wouldn't go either.
Well, we've got baseball and soccer. Spring sports for kids lives on.
Was it Tuesday? Was it Tuesday? Yeah, I think it was Tuesday. It was Tuesday that the State House had a security issue.
That's right. And I think you said today that security had been stepped up over there.
Yeah, there's a bunch of dudes in combat gear.
Yeah.
Have been all week since this incident on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And from what we understand, it was somebody who was on the State House grounds carrying a firearm illegally. And
that was according to they announced that the day after.
Yeah.
Kind of
somebody
like
was,
as a,
somebody
you know,
was carrying a long gun.
Everybody did a great job of keeping everybody safe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but unlike most places in South Carolina where you cannot muster this constant large police presence.
How do you handle
you're
that?
You're going to see more and more of this kind of stuff.
How do you handle that?
And the other interesting thing, and I know you talked about it, just like we have the First Amendment auditors.
Right. Are we now going to have second?
Well, I would expect that we'll have Second Amendment auditors. And if you walk around campus at the State House, even though the law says you can't carry it on the State House grounds, and there's signage over there saying you can't do it, but that signage is not necessarily compliant with what the law says.
Right. You would think the place where they make the laws would comply.
For signage. So, that's going to cause somebody to potentially challenge, hey, that you don't have the right signage. And they don't know that they can't carry on the State House grounds, except for that one dude, I guess. He found out this week.
He felt right.
He can't carry.
You also attended a subcommittee yesterday, I think, on MPDES permits.
So if your city or town has an MPDES permit, and MPDES stands for National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. If you have a permit that allows you to discharge waters into state waters, into public waters,
think like wastewater, discharge sewer
treated
water.
Treated wastewater, cooling water in some industries. If you hold one of these of the 1,300 permits across the state to discharge, there are several bills that would require you, as that permit holder, to mark with a sign the point at which that discharge is being made into the public waters. The State Chamber of Commerce came out strong against this yesterday because it's not just public entities that have MPDES permits. Lots of industries do.
A lot of private.
Those of you who are familiar with the wastewater biz know that...
Here we go.
Lots of industries have to have pretreatment programs, and they then also may have discharge permits. So... the concern was that was an undue burden on those businesses. One of the points that the chamber made was that, hey, if we placard this, if we put signage on these discharge points, then that's going to make the public think that there's something wrong, that this is a problem, when in fact what's being discharged is fully regulated and within the limits that are in federal
and
state law.
Following,
And in fact, I somewhat agree with that. I mean, I've drank wastewater effluent before, and
that explains a lot.
Look, it's cleaner than the water that it's going into.
It truly explains
right?
a lot.
The water that comes out.
I've had lots of questions, but they've all been answered just now.
So
live on the podcast.
So I mean, I think that's probably a valid thing. But then the counterpoint is if I'm recreating on state waters, I ought to be, instead of having to go on my phone and look it up, which you can,
you should be able to look around and see that you're swimming around.
Swimming, fishing, whatever.
Right.
So
in wastewater.
So Senator Josh Kimbrell,
from Spartanburg,
from Inman, he proposed an idea that said, okay, well, instead, he didn't necessarily disagree with the signage concept, but he suggested that rather than make each individual permit holder do this, then perhaps this is something that, what'd you call them? The Department of Environmental Services?
DHEC. Yeah, Environmental Affairs. He's, yeah, Environmental Services.
He suggested that DHEC be responsible for doing this going forward. So I think they're going to work on that. But it was a standing room only subcommittee. When I walked on into the hallway out of the stairwell, I saw Taft Matney.
Yeah.
And I said, what's going on here? What's on this agenda? Because there was only two things on it.
Right.
I was like, what in the heck?
Not
said,
thinking that it was there because what you were there
right,
for.
Right. Like, everybody was here. What's everybody here for? He goes, we're here for the MPDES thing, the sign thing. I was like, what?
Right. Who cares about the?
It was packed.
That could be, I mean, both. This is now the second hearing. One was held in the House not long ago, and this is a companion bill.
Yeah.
In the Senate, and both have had the same result.
It's crazy.
Adjourned debate. I mean, no.
Why did
the committee
not go to
did
that
not,
first meeting, the House meeting?
Joni took that one.
Oh, she got that one?
Yeah, she got that one. Okay. I think you were doing, you were probably double booked.
I was doing something else.
So you were doing something else.
Okay. On behalf of our fantastic members.
On behalf of our cities and towns.
That's right.
Well,
that's all I got to say about the
MPDES.
The signage.
The wastewater.
There.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that you shared with all of our listeners that you drink
effluent.
Yeah,
it's clean
wastewater.
Think about
is it like a dare or something? Or you just...
No, it's a it's a gesture to assure yourself and the public that what you're doing is safe.
Did you do that when you were city manager in Woodruff?
Yeah.
You did. You went on camera and you
Lee
were like,
Bailey,
"Look at me, I'm drinking."
Lee Bailey offered me some effluent, and I was like, "Sure."
Remind me not to dare you, okay?
Yeah.
Because I feel like you'd do it.
Yeah.
Like, not even worried about what it is. I feel like you'd do it. It's kind of like me. Somebody says, I dare you. My kids like to say, I dare you to yell whatever, happy birthday, like, really loud. And I'm like, all right, what are you going to give me? And they're like, well, no, Mama, wait a minute. Never mind. And I'm like, no, what are you going to give me?
No. As Ted once said, I'm a gambling man by nature.
And I were somewhere, and she told me, "I'll give you $100 if you like do something." And I was like, "Okay." And then everybody was like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa!" No. Mary was like, "Wait, are you really going to do it?" And I was like, "Yeah, that's $100."
$100 is
$100 is more than the $100 I got now.
A Benjamin is quite tantalizing.
I knew she didn't have $100 to give me, so,
it's a
bust anyway. Anything else
bet.
That we need to touch on? We have both regular weeks next week for the House and Senate.
Hope so.
They should be running through the calendar. They both have quite long calendars and things to get to. So we'll see what the next issue du jour is.
I'll be interested.
I'll
be interested to see if the House gets to the liquor liability bill 5066.
Yep, on the contested calendar.
Yeah.
Yep, that's very true.
I hope they do. We need something to move that issue forward and
something needs to happen this session.
Kind of break the log jam of inaction at this
point. Yeah, and they've got a couple more weeks to do it.
Yep.
So we'll keep everybody posted on what goes on these last several weeks of session. And just tune in each week to hear what Scott has done next. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.